world and national news. Here is the latest update from Fox News Radio on 1460 WVOX.
Fox News, I'm Dave Anthony. Democrats will debate again tonight in Nevada with someone new on stage.
Tonight's Democratic debate in Las Vegas will bring a new addition to the stage, former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Thanks to new polling released yesterday, Bloomberg qualified for the debate with 19% support. The debate is expected to last 2 hours and starts at 9 o'clock Eastern on NBC.
Fox's Tanya J. Power is also there. Joe Biden, Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren. A coronavirus quarantine is over for most passengers on a cruise ship in Japan.
Hundreds of passengers disembarking the Diamond Princess, which has been anchored near Tokyo for 2 weeks. People who've tested negative for the virus are free to leave. Those who've tested positive are either still on the ship or in the hospital.
Fox's Simon Owen. The Chinese government has expelled 3 Wall Street Journal reporters over an opinion piece not written by them, critical of the coronavirus response. The virus has killed more than 2,000 people in China. America's listening to Fox News.
Citadel Americas LLC has an opening for the position of trader located in New York, New York. Job duties for the position include monitoring and analyzing incoming market information, economic news and trading activity to manage portfolio risk, identifying investment opportunities, and making trading decisions. This is a full-time position. Please send resumes to employeerelations/LE at Citadel Americas LLC, 131 South Dearborn Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60603. Reference job ID 4595075.
Be sure to listen to Jen Graziano's program, Time to Talk, on its new day and time. Jen has moved from Wednesdays at noon to every Monday morning at 9 on WVOX. Time to Talk is definitely a time to listen to a host extraordinaire when Jen Graziano brings you fascinating guests and conversations that you won't want to miss. That's Time to Talk at its new time every Monday morning at 9 on 1460 WVOX. And WVOX.com.
One of the most important things our local WVOX radio station is known for is to alert and inform our many loyal listeners about schools, churches, temples, meetings, after-school activities delayed or canceled when snow and ice storms arrive. These announcements are the kind of information everyone in Westchester needs to hear about right here on 1460 AM. Official, all-important, informative, and informational storm announcements, and they are being made possible through the generosity of New Rochelle Chevrolet at 291 Main Street, right here in New Rochelle. New Rochelle Chevrolet is a superb Chevrolet dealership, always friendly and welcoming to their customers, helping them get in on really good deals because they know that Westchester shoppers deserve the best. And the staff at New Rochelle Chevrolet, with Frank Endres at the helm, only want the best for their customers. New Rochelle Chevrolet will be informing you as to what is closed on those snowy, wintry days because they have been named the exclusive sponsor of WVOX's Storm Alert. Thank you, New Rochelle Chevrolet, for bringing these reports to the WVOX listeners.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather on 1460 WVOX.
Here's the updated weather forecast for Westchester. Look for a sunny Wednesday. After some early clouds, our high temperatures today will range into the middle 40s. Northwest winds, though, gusting 15 to 25. And it'll be gusting up to about 30 at times this afternoon. That brings in some colder weather for tonight. It'll be clear, nighttime lows into the middle 20s, and partial sunshine on Thursday. Thursday's highs only in the middle 30s. At night, mostly clear, down to the upper teens near 20. Sunshine Friday, highs in the middle 30s. Saturday and Sunday, fair, mid-40s on Saturday, near 50 Sunday. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for 1460 WVOX, a Whitney Global Media Station.
Fasten your seatbelts. You're airborne with a completely unpredictable WVOX, where something's always happening. At 1460 on your AM dial and streaming live right now at WVOX.com. Download the WVOX app and take us with you wherever you go.
1460 WVOX.
Let's return now to the ballot box with your hosts, Tamar Tate and Nita Lubin, brought to you by the League of Women Voters of New Rochelle. Once again, the ballot box on 1460 WVOX.
Welcome back. This is Tamar Tate, and we are speaking with Dare Thompson. And Dare was telling us before the break about the scope of the 19th Amendment once it was finally passed and how women of color fit, or rather didn't fit, into the picture. So, Dare, maybe you could pick up where we left off?
Yeah, the interesting thing about the racism in the movement is how it gets all of us to think about what compromises we're making now that we're not really not comfortable with. I don't think the women involved with, well, Elizabeth Cady Stanton has is getting, I think, hit the most for comments that she made, because she got so upset when black men got the vote before women did, and she and Frederick Douglass had a falling out and so forth, and she's kind of famous for this, but really all of the people involved recognized that you know there was a lot of racism in the country, and a lot of people were going to be concerned about the fact that more black people were going to get the vote. So it was something they had to deal with, and things were said that were unfortunate. And the fact that black women had to organize themselves, really, they weren't, it was, they really had to have their separate movement, because the two were not well combined. And the fact they marched at the end of the parade is just incredibly embarrassing to us today to even think that we could have asked that. But when you think of the way the country was at the time, you kind of understand.
You know, for our listeners who would like more information on this, the League of Women Voters of Westchester is having a program. It's called The Untold Story, The Alienation of Black Female Suffragists and Women of Color. And that should be fascinating. It's going to be on Saturday, March 14th at 1 o'clock at Manhattanville College in Purchase, New York. And anyone who'd like more information on that, it should be a very interesting program, should contact the League of Women Voters. So to follow up on the historical component, you know, the League, we got the 19th Amendment passed, and then the League started focusing increasing energy on making democracy work. I'm wondering if you could sort of identify some issues they took on.
Well, the League has, over the years, over 100 years, covered a lot of issues, and we're now centering in on the ones that around the theme of making democracy work, just because our country is struggling so much with these institutional issues. And election laws are obviously an important thing, and redistricting is coming up. The census is really important to us, because if there's not a good census, there won't be good redistricting going forward. I've told you in talking to you before this program that I've worked as a poll worker and as a census worker, just to go into these systems and see how well they work, and feel comforted actually to have done that, because I see that they do work well, but they're so fundamental to our democracy working, and yet people, you know, don't necessarily think that through and realize why. Voter suppression has been a bigger issue in some other states than here, but that's hugely important to us. The racism involved in voting that has led to the Voting Rights Act, and also, regrettably, a cutting back in the power of the Voting Rights Act, and important things that had been part of that were taken out. Those are all things we've fought for. We've gone to court nationally. The League is in court a lot over these issues, often as a friend of the court, but they sometimes are leading the charge. So we are the voice for the voter. That is the number one thing that we do, and so right now we are working to protect that.
Dare, in this very highly partisan day and age, the lines are very bright, and apparently you're on one side or you're on the other. How has the League maintained something that we know is sacrosanct for the League, its nonpartisan stance? How's the League doing with that?
Yeah, it is a huge challenge, because there is a us versus them attitude that just is getting worse and worse in the country as a whole. And fortunately, you find good people in both parties, and you find, you know, mm-hmm. just winner-take-all kind of people as well. And we work with the people who really want to see the system work for everybody, and we find those people everywhere. Really, there is some hope in that. Yeah, I don't know what more to say about that. We don't support candidates or parties.
Right.
So it's really hard when something is like our platform. We were always considered a very moderate group. And when I first started in the league, and now our positions look very liberal, and they look much closer to the Democratic platform. So we're constantly having to explain that. Hey, we didn't leave the rest of the population. They kind of left us. So it's we just stick to the issues, not the people, and we stick to the process. We moderate candidates' meetings. We put out voter information, and people continue to trust us because they see that we're fact based. We really think before we put things out. We just hang on to that, and our reputation is everything to us because we don't have a lot of money, we don't have huge numbers of people. But if people don't believe that we're telling them the truth and trying to be fair, then we're worthless.
And Dare, I can tell you that as a relatively new member of the League of Women Voters, when I now speak about my new interest and the work that I'm doing, I hear so often that trust and that respect that comes from all up and down the spectrum. So I heartily concur in that.
Right.
Respect is all, and the league has it. It doesn't take much to find out the things the league has been involved with since the 1920s. Just a quick look. From the 20s, involved in child welfare, public health. In the 30s, involved deeply with education, candidates, who they are, how your town works. In the 40s, post-war 40s, involved supporting positions on the UN, the World Bank, the Marshall Plan, NATO. The 50s, 60s, individual liberty, civil rights area, equal rights amendment in the 70s. The current vote 411.org, taking advantage of the internet to really personalize information about every individual voter's status and options if you go to that website. The Voting Rights Act in the 80s, et cetera. It's really even positions on and actions having to do with conserving natural resources. In my head, I'm thinking, what critical issues in our democracy has the League of Women Voters not had a hand in? I don't think there's there really is a single answer to that. So with all of that as background, what can you tell us personally about the battles or the issues that you've had a personal hand in that you consider, serious achievements or the critical ones?
I think Nina's looking for some war stories from the trenches.
and it's always something very specific. Like I remember fighting for the bottle bill and writing an editorial and calling up my local brewery and asking questions and, it went on and on for some time, but then we got it, and now nobody talks about it. Motor voter, you mentioned that earlier to me, and that was a huge thing that nobody talks about anymore. You just kind of assume you can go to the Motor Vehicle Bureau in your state and town, whatever, and get that done, get registered. So we have a lot of accomplishments like that.
I
hear your noise, so I'll...
Yeah.
I'll
pick up after the break.
Yes.
And national news. Here is the latest update from Fox News Radio on 1460 WVOX.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Six Democrats qualify for tonight's presidential debate, including familiar faces Joe Biden, Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, Bernie Sanders, and Elizabeth Warren.
Tonight's Democratic debate in Las Vegas will bring a new addition to the stage, former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Thanks to new polling released yesterday, Bloomberg qualified for the debate with 19% support. The debate is expected to last 2 hours and starts at 9 o'clock Eastern on NBC.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. A coronavirus quarantine is over for most passengers on a cruise ship in Japan.
Hundreds of passengers disembarking the Diamond Princess, which has been anchored near Tokyo for 2 weeks. People who've tested negative for the virus are free to leave. Those who've tested positive are either still on the ship or in the hospital.
Fox's Simon Owen. The Chinese government's expelled three Wall Street Journal reporters over an opinion piece not written by them, critical of the coronavirus response. The virus has killed more than 2,000 people now, mostly in China. America's listening to Fox News.
We've toiled and triumphed.
We choose to go to the moon.
We pushed mankind to new worlds. We fought for justice.
A turning point in man's search for freedom.
And freed a continent.
Tear down this wall.
But perhaps our greatest achievement isn't thanks to an athlete or an astronaut. It's at the very core of our country. Our greatest achievement is in your hands. Democracy 2020. Fox News. America is watching.
Phil Hemmer reports, weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Moving to the town of Chaldea.
These are complex times. They need to be understood in more than just a soundbite.
We're in central Hanoi, just a few blocks.
When people's lives are affected, it's important to be fast, but it's most important to be right.
Boston is a city in shock.
Information has never moved faster than it does today. It is our job to cut through it.
Phil Hemmer reports, weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, only on the Fox News Channel.
There are quite a number of neighborhood flower shops around Westchester County these days. As in all things, some are better than others. And in the Colonial Village Shopping Center on Weaver Street in Scarsdale, just to the north of New Rochelle, there exists a florist of very great style and renown. Colonial Village Flowers specializes in beautiful seasonal flowers arranged in good taste, with the lovely low-key result that all Colonial Village presentations, bouquets, and arrangements look like they were actually grown, collected, and gathered in the natural setting of your own garden. Good taste in flowers has for years been a special trademark of Joe Ward and his talented floral arrangers at Colonial Village. Featuring the natural look, without pomp or ceremony. So please, know that there is at least one flower shop on your classy wavelength. Joe Ward's Colonial Village Flowers at 1515 Weaver Street in Scarsdale. Call 723-2888. That's 723-2-3-8.
1460 WVOX.
Let's return now to the ballot box with your hosts Tamar Tate and Nita Lubin. Brought to you by the League of Women Voters of New Rochelle. Once again, the ballot box on 1460 WVOX.
Welcome back. We are speaking with Dara Thompson of the League of Women Voters, and Dara has been bringing us up to date on issues that she's taken on behalf of the League. And Dara, I'm wondering about the impact of recent movements like the Me Too movement, the Time's Up movement. How have these impacted the work of the League?
Well, it does make it harder to be nonpartisan. That's for sure. We were talking about that earlier in the way our country is split, which, by the way, I think is a major way that there's that some people are suppressing the vote, getting people so discouraged with their government that they just exit and turn off the TV and they don't listen to the news and so on. And that is a form of voter suppression. Other people say, I'm going to find an organization to work with. I have to do something. And the League is often a calm place to come because, we lower our voices, we get to work, and we really try to do something that's going to make a difference in this very, very heated climate. One of the things, you asked me about battles I had, and it's harder to think of the big ones than all the little ones. You know, going to a town board meeting and just sitting in the back and knowing that your presence, and this is, I've had this documented enough to know it's true, your presence really changes the behavior of that body because now they've got somebody watching them. And most bodies operate pretty much on their own, and they're not used to having a citizen just walk in and sit down for no good reason, maybe, just because they're interested in their government. That changes behavior. And we have a lot of League people who like to do that, and go to the county legislature or their state government or whatever and make a difference simply by watching them, asking questions, eventually maybe getting to know the people and calling them up for follow-up. And it's pretty easy, just as an interested person, not an expert, to just get in there and start to affect your local government or county or state or even national government. I've gone to the White House. I've gone sat in on a Foreign Relations Committee meeting. I've done all sorts of things because I'm a league person, and some circumstances led me there. It is your government. I'm sat in on Supreme Court offices in the back rooms. It's just wonderful what is possible when you just get interested, ask questions, and just know that this is your government and you have a right to be there.
You answered an unasked question. I was going to ask you, how easy is it to become involved in our democracy? And you've hit the nail on the head. I don't know that many of us would be in the halls of the Supreme Court or at the federal legislature in Washington. But the amazing thing about the League is that there are tons of local-level operations, local-level boards, like the New Rochelle Board, like the Larchmont Board. There's the Westchester Board. And, of course, the New York State Board. And what that means is that if we're becoming involved via the League in democracy, it's really at our level. It's at our hometown. And you're saying that, you don't have to become an expert in anything, at least not at the outset, just go to the next City Hall meeting, be there, show up, get interested. It's probably not crowded enough. There's probably enough space that people will see your face and know who you are the next time you come. Are there any other suggestions for at the local level, busy people, work, children, family, school, whatever it might be, how we take steps, those first steps into democratic actions?
Well, I really think that's the most important thing you can do is go around and look at some of the bodies that are making decisions in your life, and just watch them. If you're polite and have an open mind, people will welcome you. They really are glad because these people are for a large part volunteers. They're spending a lot of their time, and they don't get a lot of appreciation. They get people calling them up when they have something to complain about. So I really advise that. And then see what interests you, and then you become a little more expert in your school board or your planning board or whatever. And it's pretty easy to get appointed to things if you show an interest. So you may end up doing that. One of the things that really bothers me is that people will say they only vote in the presidential election, like that's okay. And it's at the local level where you have all those races that are decided by one vote. And so if people really understood how much more power they have at the local level as an individual, they would be addicted to it. It's really fun to see how much of a difference you can make. And if you just go to the presidential election and just follow that, your one vote is not going to make that much difference,
right. But you're
statewide
removed.
Even, you can make a big difference, and you can go visit their offices.
Our local league has a once-a-month coffee and conversation with various movers and shakers and actors in our community, and I think tomorrow mentioned the upcoming one. But I was at one a couple of weeks ago, and it had our New Rochelle City Council members.
Great.
And I did not know who they were. I didn't have faces to names. I didn't really understand how our city was apportioned. Just going to that meeting and sitting there, not contributing nothing, I feel so much more knowledgeable and empowered. I know who these people are. I know who my council person is. I understand the district system. And I, just listening, understand the issues facing them as well as the issues facing New Rochelle. So, yes, it is a kind of feeling of empowerment. You're absolutely right. And it was nothing. And I got free coffee and cake. So it was
and then every time you read the paper, it makes sense to you when somebody's quoted and so on. And that feeling of power just keeps growing as you become more knowledgeable of the details. So it's that's why I've stayed with it so long. Everywhere I go, whether I have a full-time job, a couple of times. When I was president of the Rhode Island League, I had a toddler on my hip. It's so addictive.
It's accompanied you through all stages of life. And your energy and your passion are remarkable, absolutely remarkable. It has been a real pleasure for Tamar and I to get to know you over these past couple of days and weeks.
Yeah,
one of the things that you're involved in that is not connected to the league, or at least not formally connected to the league, is now a suffrage commission that you're on, New York State. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, New York State is so important in the suffrage movement. I mean, we, we've not talked about Carrie Chapman Catt maybe enough, but with her and then Seneca Falls particularly, we are really important. And so the New York set up a suffrage commission back in 16, and Kathy Hochul was appointed the chair of that. And there were really only, I think, 12 of us initially. There's some other people that sometimes come to the meetings. But the we've really gotten to know one another. You know, I now know Deborah Hughes at the Susan B. Anthony House and Sally Rush Wagner at the Matilda Jocelyn Gage House and so on. It's just been very valuable at connecting all of us that care about suffrage. There have been conferences every year put on where we learn more about the effect of women's dress on their power. You forget how much just the way they were dressed made it so impossible for them to ride a bike or do some things that ultimately became kind of liberating. So that's been a really wonderful experience for me, and I've learned a lot.
You know, Dara, you were speaking about how important it is to get involved locally. Someone mentioned to me, you know, if the Secretary of State of the United States goes on vacation and at the same time your garbage men go on strike, who are you going to miss more, right? It's important to know what's going on locally because that has such an immediate effect on your life.
Right.
Yeah.
I know all about recycling, by the way, because we are experts on our resource recovery agency, and I actually got called by my town board. Are you coming down to the meeting? We have a question. And, you know, so we followed that, the whole recycling business, really closely.
I'm just curious, one last question looking forward. What's on the agenda for 2020?
Well, it's you know, we're still fighting for democracy. That doesn't seem to be going away too quickly. I'm trying to think whether there's anything else. I know people are starting to ask about the ERA. Is that going to be revived? If it looks like there's really hope that that would happen, we would jump on board there. We're pretty strong in our environmental interests. Almost every league person I know cares a lot about climate change. Another issue is the healthcare reforms. There are people that are very have been following that very closely, and those were our priorities. Climate change and healthcare were our priorities before we realized we have to do practically all our time on election issues. But those could come back to bring us back into other issues. But we're often a voice that the other groups which have a single focus say, let's get the league to come and meet with us and to stand with us to lend credibility. So sometimes our biggest value is just doing that, is signing on to legislation, you know, is supporting it and so on.
Yeah, you know, the first thing you mentioned was the ERA. I know the League of Women Voters of the United States sent a letter to the Congress recently urging them to remove the ratification deadline on the ERA. So it's an exciting time for ERA. I'm curious to see if that's going to pick up momentum. But, Dara, thank you so much. This has been such a fascinating conversation, and I feel like we didn't have enough time.
Not at all.
No, it's 100 years of the league almost 50 years for me. So,
right.
So people know I joined in my 20s. I'm not as old as I.
Correct.
Well,
you thought you'd have a calm life in the literature and the arts.
Well, I've had a good time with those too.
Well, thank you so much, Dare.
It's
and
been a
look
pleasure.
Forward to our next conversation.
Oh, so, me too. And congratulations on this program. You do a great job.
Thank you so much. So okay. A big takeaway for our listeners is how important the work of the league is. We hope she's inspired you to get involved. League of Women Voters, right here in New Rochelle, needs volunteers, and the time commitment can be as much or as little as you like. So at the moment, if you would like to get involved, we need volunteers for voter registration drives, a big election coming up. It's a great way to get involved in the community, so please reach out and join us. And by the way, our next coffee and conversation guest at the New Rochelle Public Library, David Rose, professional archivist at the New Rochelle Public Library.
Our website, lwvnewro.org.
Thanks so much for joining us. And